Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Nick Andre!
The China! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what the
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Woo! I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it today. I'm wide awake. I got my nap in, Greg. I woke up. We only have about 50 minutes, 50 minutes, to do a lot of action. But it's time for the number one sports and recreation podcast in the world. And that is a fact. A fact that we are number one. Ask anybody. No, not on the iTunes chart. Those charts are rigged. Those are fake. We're number one in the hearts of the people, and that's real. It's time for Cheap Heat. My name is Peter Rosenberg, and I'm joined all the way from Philadelphia by way of Harlem, USA, by the physically large one, the physically congested one, Snack Guy Greg.
Yo, it's good to be here, Pete. How you doing?
SGG and the Mickey Flicky House. How are you, man?
Yo, Mickey Flicky, I haven't heard that one in a while. That's like a house party on regular BET or cable reference right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing great, though.
Good, my friend. I'm glad to hear it. And I do want to say off top, because there's a lot of stuff to get to, I was a little bummed we'd just been so busy that we didn't have time to even really talk about TakeOver last week. And I'll keep it honest, I haven't gotten to watch TakeOver yet this week. So at some point here, I want to make sure we specifically spend some time over the next few weeks on what's been happening on TakeOver. And I want to sit down and watch the whole pay-per-view because obviously I heard amazing things about the tag match, about Gargano versus Ciampa, about a lot. So I want to get to all of it properly. And just to be realistic, Greg, even if I had watched it, I just doubt we're going to get time right now because we have to spend time on what happened at Money in the Bank and this week and where we're going because we actually had our first, maybe you could maybe describe it, first good week of television in a very long time. And, of course, SGG, we have to start by saying goodbye to Leon White.
Yeah.
A big happy trails and a bon voyage to the great Vader, who passed away at 63 years old. According to his son, he had caught pneumonia. He fought hard and ended up slipping away. A lot of conversation about where you put him in the list, in the canon of greats, especially when it comes to big men. And what your favorite runs with him may be, which we're happy to read your emails about at rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. SGG, tell me first, what's your favorite, let me guess, feuding with Bret Hart? Is that your favorite?
Vader? No, that's not my favorite. Although I will say, like, I was excited about Vader in WWE just because the man up to that point was a monster. And even when he came on the scene and just annihilated Gorilla Monsoon, like, he was terrifying. But Vader against Sting in WCW, 1992, those pay-per-view matches that they had, trading the world championship, like, that for me was money. And, like, the whole package was there. He was big. He was fast. He did things that a guy his size should not have ever been able to do.
Yep.
He was believable. And, like, that mask with the smoke coming out of it was just, like, terrifying. It was all there, like the total package.
Yeah, we were having a conversation over text about who the best big men, you know, some of the best big men, and we had a disagreement because I said that I thought Boss Man was more athletic than Vader, and Greg and Zach disagreed. I think we were both talking about different eras of the other person.
Yeah, because I think you were talking about, like, 80s Boss Man when he was more of a young whippersnapper and definitely a bit more agile, but for me,
88 to 90 Boss Man to me is just so athletic. But honestly, I mean, and Vader, of course, by the time he made it to the WWF was slowed down considerably. They're both, it doesn't really matter where you put them, but in terms of just doing, and they were different the way they used their athleticism, right?
Yeah, very much so, because Vader would just like try to destroy people.
Well, and Vader used the top rope, and
Like Vader did moonsaults, which is, it's crazy that a guy his size would even think to do it, but then like to be able to do it with no issues either, like, and hit his target. He's incredible, like, and his importance too. It really can't be understated. In Japan, he had some great matches. You know, he was the first non-Japanese IWGP champion. And then years down the road, he hired Kenny Omega to work in Japan and actually got him his work visa that he wasn't going to be able to get till before he got to New Japan. And now Kenny Omega's the IWGP champion, and that came around full circle. And he has a good amount of his early success in Japan to Ota Vada. You know, and even as WCW, he ran around talking about, you know, 10 world championships on 4 continents and things like that. And I think when you look back at world champions, it's cool to say like you were the WWE champion and that made you the champion of the world, or like even IWGP or this promotion or that promotion. But for about 3 weeks in 1989, Vader was the world champion in 3 different promotions on 3 different continents. So I think like going back to that era, that's when, you know, he wasn't big in North America, but, or not in America, I say, but he's as close to a world champion as you got, like those 21 days, because he was the guy in Japan and the guy in Europe and the guy in Mexico. And he had the skills to be the guy in America.
Yeah, no, he had a hell of a run, and it is sad that he didn't get to the Hall of Fame before he passed. It's a place he's definitely going to go, probably sooner than later.
He wanted to go too.
Yeah, and he did. He wanted to go and didn't. I'm not exactly sure what the logic was as to why it didn't happen. I just can't speak to it, but definitely a great who will be missed. SGG. Outside the ring, anything else to get to?
So last week we touched on Ring of Honor hosting a show at MSG in 2019. They said it was scheduled and on the calendar. And apparently after quote-unquote communications with WWE, that show has been moved off of the calendar indefinitely by Madison Square Garden. So, looks like it's not going to be happening.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's I don't know, not shocking, I guess. Like I said to you before, to me, it was surprising that they would be able to pull it off, regardless of WWE's stance on it. It's just working the gardens very, very tough. But yeah, I saw that news as well. Doesn't shock me. What else you got, SGG?
Big Cass was released from the WWE. I want to say, was this yesterday or was it 2 days ago? I think it was Tuesday. He was released, and you know, Pro Wrestling Sheet is reporting a lot of the reasons why he'd be released. Supposedly he had some issues on the European tour, public drunkenness. There was an incident on a bus, and the incident in Montreal, he went off script and ignored a directive that was given to him by Vince McMahon, and all these things apparently accumulated to the point where Vince McMahon fired him personally on Tuesday. And I know a lot of fans, when they saw the message, you know, I noticed, and I know a lot of other people did as well, that WWE did not do the typical we wish you the best in your future endeavors. It was just like Big Cass, real name, has been fired from the WWE, and that was that. And to my knowledge, that's only happened to Enzo and Cass, which is kind of strange. But maybe not. But yeah, it's only happened to them over the years.
Were you surprised to see the end of Big Cass?
Yes, I was. This way, I'd say. I don't think he was clicking with the crowd. He wasn't clicking for me. So I figured he might have been moved down the card after those two clean losses to Daniel Bryan, or just moved somewhere else. But to see him take the loss and then be released unceremoniously, that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I remembered, of course. Did we talk on the podcast about the time he did the promo and went into business for himself?
No, we did not.
Because, yeah, there was a time, and the story's out there now, in which he went down to the ring, was supposed to cut a promo on SmackDown, I believe it was, yeah, on SmackDown, and it was very specific about what it was supposed to be, and he just went completely rogue. And he supposedly just got completely destroyed for it. And listen, you know, WWE is always a fine line about going for that brass ring. And do you want to go down and just go out on your own and go for it? Big Cass wasn't the guy who'd want to do something like that from both a standing in the locker room standpoint and a mic skill standpoint. That isn't the move. So that's one thing. I didn't know how negatively he was thought of, but apparently when you read, it wasn't good. And I will say in retrospect, he always seemed a little bit distanced. You know, he didn't seem to have a ton of friends. You saw that Enzo jumped out on Twitter right after it happened and wrote, "How you doing?"
I did see that. I don't know if that means they're on good terms or bad terms, but that's just.
Yeah, I just thought it was. I thought it was interesting. They never got good, bro. I mean, they never talked after it ended. No one never reached out. You know, can you imagine a few years ago when this team was hot as can be? If you were to fast forward to summer 2018. The only person who would not only be alive in the business, but thriving, would be Carmella.
Nope.
Would you have believed it? And she is thriving too.
Nope. It sucks because Enzo and Cass, it's been said about them that they needed each other, and like they really did. Like, if you look back at their NXT days, you know, they were hot, and for whatever reason, you know, WWE didn't give them a title opportunity at NXT Brooklyn. I think like them winning the championship instead of the Vaudevillains from Blake and Murphy, you know, would have done them some good. But then, and you know, they went on to get some championship opportunities after that, never won. And then, you know, American Alpha got hot, and then at WrestleMania 33, they were still one of the most over tag teams in the company. And then the Hardy Boys come in, and then they break up, and it's like, for whatever reason, they were never able to get that opportunity. And as soon as they broke up, like, they both just went down. Like, they never maintained that heat that they had.
Yeah. It seems like initially it was punishment, you know, because they were hot. Do you remember before they started messing with Enzo, they were hot still.
Yeah.
They were still over. And then it appeared that it was time to, you know, break them up. They were hot after the breakup, and then things just started getting messy. So hopefully they both land on their feet in terms of wrestling. What else, Greg?
WWE announces the start of another new brand, NXT UK. So now the UK Championship will have a home, and the brand will also include a women's division and a tag team division, complete with championships.
And how's this going to work?
That is what I'm interested to see. Will the shows air? When will they air? Will they only air in the UK? I don't know. But I will say that the London crowd and I guess the UK crowd in general, like those crowds and like they're hot. You know, I couldn't be more happy for them that they get to see wrestling every week or however or so often they tape it, because those crowds just bring something to the vibe, and I can see why WWE and Triple H want to capitalize on that. And even if you look at some of the stars who've come from over there, you know, Finn Balor, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, Wade Barrett, Becky Lynch, the name goes on and on, and why not do the same thing that you're doing in NXT, which has proven to be successful and allowed you to strike and capture young talent at the infancy of their careers. Just do the same thing in the UK. Neville's another name that comes to mind. Just catch them and, you know, groom them for the WWE system, and then hopefully there's a spot waiting for them on the big stage.
It is very cool, and we will see how it plays out. They just keep going, man. They just keep going, and there's still that's a lot of content to fill up.
Yeah, that's the only issue, though. Like, I wonder about, you know, when this NXT UK brand gets off the ground and gets going, and then what will Mania Weekend look like, you know, because they already have the Hall of Fame, they got SmackDown, Raw, and the NXT TakeOver, so then we're like, NXT UK be included in the NXT takeovers and have those shows go like 4 hours of just like nonstop action going, you know, head to head like that. I don't know, but we'll see. I'm excited about it though.
SGG, anything else?
And lastly, this one we can spend, just go real quickly. Sami Zayn, is apparently taking time off due to injury. It seems there were some nagging injuries that had been bothering him for quite some time, and then he went down to see Dr. James Andrews and is now going to be taking some time off. The injuries haven't been disclosed, so we don't know exactly how much time off it'll be or what the timetable is, but it seems to be that's the reason why he was not at Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, that's I was not aware of that at all until afterwards. I just saw that. Now, Greg, more importantly, how do you spell peasants? P-E-A-S-E-N-T-S? Peasants?
Yes. P-E-A. No, P-E-A-S-A-N-T.
S-A-S-A.
Yes.
I know what you're saying. Why do I need to know how to spell peasants? Because I'm talking trash on Twitter.
I feel like you're going to get a lot of use out of that word.
Yeah. Someone's defending me and wrote, he invented hip hop podcasts. Is that good enough for you? And so I replied, say it louder for the peasants.
I mean, it's so true too. Like Juan Epp has been, you know, going for what, almost a decade? Over a decade? It's been a long time.
I mean, listen, it's a lot. It's a lot. I got a lot of people coming for my neck this week, and I just decided I'd recently started caring too much and feeling too bad about when people come for me. And instead, Ebro was like, you don't have anything to prove to anyone. You gotta be at a point right now where you absolutely know your contributions. If people try to question you, destroy them, bro. And I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe he's right.
I'll say this too. I've never seen anybody catch more heat for being not just right, but like being thoughtful and careful about how to state these correct opinions as you get. Like it's wild.
Listen, here, I appreciate that, and I have been very thoughtful and clear, and not only that, Greg, I have to do it. I'm on live radio 8 hours a day plus the stuff I record. So the opportunities for misstep, Greg, are nonstop. You know, like basically, but to make a long story short, a podcaster, a once rapping now podcaster named Joe Budden decided to attack me because he didn't like how I initially spoke on the death of XXXTentacion. Okay? Not going to spend a long time on this. His death is tragic. I went back and listened to how I first announced it. I don't think it was particularly warm, but I also don't think it was in any way wrong. And I think my feelings on him are very complicated, as they should be if you're a reasonable adult who knows the facts and has been reading about him for over a year, as I have been. I was at his first Rolling Loud when he blew up. Like, I've been following this story. So I had mixed feelings on it. Anyways, Joe trying to distort me speaking in 1 second to make me look like a bad guy. When I speak out on issues, I'm a white dude who speaks out on racial issues live on radio like 8 hours a day. And you had to like reach and find one little thing to try to hang me up. Bro, do you know what kind of tightrope you have to walk in 2018 to talk about real issues and be able to work at major companies?
Let alone like, three.
Do you even fathom that? No, he can't fathom that because he's never held down a job. Okay? He doesn't understand that because what he does is just have fun on the internet with people who like him. So everyone who listens to him is a fan. I speak all day to as many people probably as hate me as love me. Okay? There are a lot of challenges that come in that. So for you to try to pick one little thing and get me when you know me better than that too. You did it just to like get some conversation going. Well, guess what? I'm not having it anymore. I'm done playing games with you. Sometimes enough's enough. You know what I mean? And in this case, I've had enough. He's not the only one I've had enough of, but he's catching that smoke today. In the immortal words of Funkmaster Flex, who I just went to war with, when it comes to this smoke, call me Mr. Chimney. Which I loved. Yo, I was in the middle of having a feud. You realize how wrestling it is that me and my hero had a feud? I mean, it couldn't be more perfect. But
and this goes to show, this goes to show too, like how much wrestling permeated the culture. Because like, you have people who go to work every day, right? And they don't get along with everyone they work with, but because you and Funk Flex are both on Hot 97, they're like, this is fake. I saw people like, oh, they're just trying to like get content, go viral. This is fake. There's nothing there. Like no, people have issues.
Yeah, you know, it happens. And sometimes you just got to get. I'm appreciative of Ebro for pulling me aside. My wife too. My wife's pulled me aside. She's like, you get so much more sensitive now. Like, you didn't used to get sensitive about this stuff. And it's funny, like, over the years, she's right. Like, I definitely got more sensitive about dealing with these situations. And for what reason? Sometimes you just gotta, you know, I can't use any of the phrases that you want to use here because they all involve, you know, grabbing a body part and just pull it together. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's the only thing that you can do. So SGG, we got to jump into the weekend or we're going to be.
We do because we had like a great weekend and week of wrestling. Like you said, TakeOver Chicago, we're going to do a deeper dive on that at another time, which I think is for the best because that show definitely does deserve the attention that we give, you know, even the worst Raws and SmackDowns every week. So I'm all for that. The listeners, as disappointed as they may have been when they heard you say that, they should also be all for that because you're going to want us to dig into these matches the way we do. So I say we just go right into Money in the Bank.
First of all, I want to apologize for the kickoff show. I was trash. I made like 3 errors. I know you heard it, Greg. I'm sure everyone in the group heard it, but no one wants to say anything. I said the SmackDown Championship instead of the WWE Championship. I said it was the second Money in the Bank ladder match for the women when it was the second event, but it was the third Money in the Bank ladder match for the women, which by the way is a travesty. It shouldn't be. And it's so annoying that that exists because every year when we do the pay-per-view, you'll have to specify event and not ladder match because of that extra one that happened.
For no reason, by the way. Like, they changed nothing.
it's so weird. She won again.
Yeah. Ellsworth came out again. It changed nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, I had that thought when I was frustrated about it that I messed that up. I was like so frustrated. So I started thinking about it and I was like, oh, well, it's important though. Cause they had that match. Why'd they have that match? And then I was like, wait, why did they have that match? Nothing changed. Anyways.
Right.
So I did have some fun, but I was frustrated. I don't like making any mistakes. I did post on Twitter though, SGG, my take on, and this is why, again, cause I'm here for clapback, all the people who hate me when I do WWE, of which there's so many jealous peasants who wish they could do what I do, but they can't, and they won't, in life, which is sad when you think about it. But one thing that I never would get credit for is that I got up there, and during the kickoff show, I really delivered a message that I think you could deliver on this same podcast, which is, and we can start here, if Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't win, it's over. It's time to move on. It's a wrap. And first of all, that's exactly what I said. I said, and for those of you who don't understand, that's a tricky balance to hit sometimes. Getting up there and talking in a way where you're talking smart about the product while also living within the product. That's a challenge. All of you probably think it's very easy to just get up there and do that and be able to know the things that we know and think as smart fans who pay attention, but also deliver it in a way where you're still part of the entertainment and not truly analyzing it like we do here.
Yeah, it's very easy to go into business for yourself, I would imagine, and like saying something that you don't realize is an issue because you got the freedom to be critical and then like having a real issue and having that be like your last kickoff show.
Well, a lot of the people who hate me and hate Sam, but I think I get it the worst by far, is I think they just think it would be easy to get up there and do it. They're like, oh, I have a podcast. I talk about wrestling. I can do it. Yeah, you have a podcast where you can say whatever you want. You can do anything. You think it's hard to complain about the product every week? That's all anyone does. That's why I love our podcast, because I hear from listeners every week who enjoy our podcast, because while we're critical, we don't hate the podcast. We are right in the middle. Like, I love Sam. Sam shills. All that Sam is almost barely critical. He's almost not critical of the product. And then there are other people who their entire podcast exists to destroy it as if they constantly hate it. Which is fine, by the way. If that's your own thing, I mean, it's just your own podcast. You do whatever you like, of course. But to be on ESPN, it puts us in a different space. And then, of course, to have me doing these kickoff shows put it in a different space. But I'll stop putting myself over now for the rest of the podcast, I promise, or at least we'll try my best. But I will say this. And, guys, when I do put myself over on the podcast, it's because when I'm going through things with the outsiders who are coming from my neck, I need you guys. I need the peanut gallery to help refuel me. That's where I get it. So that's why I come back to SGG. You know what I'm saying? My loyal teammates and the entire peanut gallery in Cheap Heat Universe to help put me over. So pardon me when I do that, but sometimes I need it for the refuel. But I got up there and I said, SGG, the pressure's on Shinsuke Nakamura. For as big as he was when he got to WWE, he now lost his chance at Mania, no decision at Backlash, loses at Money in the Bank. Story's over. And we saw this week, it now will be him and Jeff Hardy. It's done.
Yeah.
And ultimately, will we look back on this all being a disappointment for how the last year turned out for Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I'd been looking forward to a Shinsuke Nakamura championship run for forever. So you were going to be right either way. Whether he won or lost, it would have been time to move on, because four in a row with AJ was just too much. I just wish that he was moving on with the championship.
I wish it had included a championship run, because I truly don't know now if he will ever get there. You can't be sure.
Yeah, no, I hope he gets there. I don't think so, but
that ends up being a disappointment.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, especially with like the Last Man Standing match and how this was a great match that they had too. I think it was the best of the matches they had. It was vicious. It was everything you would have wanted to see. And there would have been no shame in AJ dropping the title in this
no.
way.
No. None at all. I just would have liked it. I would have liked the... I just would have liked... I just would have liked the idea of him having it now and someone continuing to chase him. Instead of now, it's like, oh, we're going to have a... Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed what they did. What was it called? The five-pack? What do they call that match?
The gauntlet match.
The gauntlet match. I enjoyed the gauntlet match. We got to see some great things, including Rusev winning, which is awesome. But it's random. Whereas, you know, I think with Shinsuke as the champion, there could have been other things to figure out. And I think him being chased would have been dope. Like I've said a million times, AJ Styles is the best wrestler in WWE. Let me say it again. AJ Styles is the best wrestler in WWE. Let me say it one more time. AJ Styles is the best wrestler in WWE. The last time, I mean it. AJ Styles is the best wrestler in WWE. The phenomenal forearm that he threw off the top rope onto the table, SGG, the man is like a... We said it when he was on the show. He's like a video game. It's not even real life what AJ Styles does.
Yeah, and to that point,
he doesn't need a title. He's one of the rare dudes. The title barely... It doesn't, I mean, it's cool that he makes the title bigger, and that's why him giving it to Shinsuke would have been cool. Him walking around with it to me, Greg, though in the long run, we'll be happy when we say how many times he had the title, because it's so deserved, and when he goes into the Hall of Fame and it's like four-time champion or whatever it will be, we'll all be like, that's great. It's awesome that he came over from TNA and got that. He doesn't need it. He just doesn't need it. He is no less over without the title. Do you agree?
I do agree. Like, He probably could even be mage without the title because he can go around and do like whatever he wants. Maybe not on like a free agent John Cena level, but he just delivers in the ring consistently, and he doesn't need the title to. He's really making the title. You know how they say it's some the man makes the title doesn't make the man. Far too often over the years, it's been the other way around where people needed the title to have some type of legitimacy, but. It really is working the other way around for AJ Styles. And quite honestly, too, if he would have lost that Money in the Bank, there would have been no shame in that. Because if you could combine the days of his last reign with this reign, he spent about a year as champion. He debuted in, what, Royal Rumble 2016? So almost half the time he's been here, he's been WWE champion. There's no shame in that. And if you throw in his U.S. title runs, too... He's been a champion most of the time we've seen him on TV. So I would have been quite all right with Shinsuke taking the championship at this point.
Yeah, I would have been very cool with it too. What was the best match of the night, SGG, when it came to Sunday night?
Oh, man, the women. The women's Money in the Bank. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match. For me, they set the bar really... really high. They did some things that I wasn't expecting it, but like it just caught me off guard in a women's match in like an awesome way. Like when Ember Moon took that powerbomb onto the ladder that was set up in the corner. It's a thing that the men do to each other all the time, but to see Natty display it like that level of viciousness to powerbomb somebody off the ladder, off of one ladder onto another ladder is just kind of crazy, you know?
I thought the women was easily the best moment of the match. In fact, so much so that I think it made the men's match almost tough, especially with us getting the most obvious result. There was so much about the women's match that I loved. I mean, I saw Naomi before, and she was like, she said she was nervous, and I was like, nervous? This is what you do. Like, you're so perfect for this to shine in this moment, and she was phenomenal. The jump from the ropes to the stairs, to the ladder, the kick into the ladder, the bump she took on the ladder. Naomi was just amazing. And SGG, I said AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the business. I don't know if you thought the same thing, because you and I didn't talk. I was out in the crowd watching. I wasn't backstage. The way that Alexa Bliss acted when she took that briefcase is what makes her currently the best, not wrestler, but the best performer in the business right now, in the WWE. There's no more authentic a character than Alexa. When she, I told her, when she pounded her chest, it was like LeBron James. She looked like an actual athlete who just shocked the world. Like, she really looked like she shocked the world. That was my pop of the night. Her screaming at the top, it reminded me of Serena Williams. It reminded me of LeBron James. It reminded me of the best athletes in the world. It wasn't wrestling. It was an athlete winning when everyone talked them down. And I don't know. I don't know about you. Tell me how you felt, but I popped so big when she handled it that way.
Well, let's be honest. It felt like she shocked the world because, honestly, she did. Not once, but twice on Sunday. And I'll be honest, when she won, I was just like, oh, man. Because, not that I was deflated, I think she doing well. She did very well with the briefcase for the 2 hours that she had it or whatever it was. And she's doing very well on, as champion, as we saw Monday night, her interaction with Ronda Rousey. And even just the way she used the briefcase on Monday to cash in on Nia Jax. But for me, I felt like, you know, Sasha Banks or any other woman could have been, or, you know, even Natty could have been slotted in and done that same thing. And it would have, from a storytelling standpoint, intrigued me a bit more than Alexa Bliss doing it. Because then you have that question of, okay, what does Alexa Bliss do from here? She's free to go in any direction. And like I said, I feel like the Natty betrayal of Ronda would have been a really good story to tell. And I thought they were foreshadowing it too, because when Ronda was shadowboxing, you saw Natty sitting down, like watching her and like giving her that encouragement before either one of them had their match. And then they went a different way with it.
Do you think there's anyone else, though, whose win would have, could have felt, could have been sold the same way?
Well, they're all different, right? So, like, as much as Alexa selling the win the way she did is part of the reason. So, I don't think anybody else could have sold it a different way because, like, let's just be honest. Let's be clear right here. They're not Alexa Bliss. She brings certain things to the table that, not other women can't bring to the table, but for whatever reason, they don't consistently bring that to the table. So, no, I don't think another woman could have given that performance that she did after cashing in the, after snatching the briefcase and making it feel so real and so important.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing. That was just, for me, the moment. And I didn't know who else I would have liked to have won it. I'm trying to think about it. Like, Charlotte getting it back, I don't think would have been great. Sasha, they would have been totally lost. What would have meant? Like, you know what I'm saying? Sasha then getting involved somehow in Nia Ronda. At this point, I'm probably jaded just because Sasha, nothing has gone right with things that they've been doing with Sasha for so long that I have very little confidence it would have been meaningful. You know, Naomi getting it on SmackDown. No, I mean, I guess none of that really would have made sense when you know you're dealing with Carmella and Asuka right now. That's very clear.
Yeah, I don't think the briefcase going to SmackDown at all would have made sense. So it would have been, you know, down to Alexa, Sasha, Ember, and Natty. Those were the only four options because Raw needed it. They didn't have it last year.
Well, what's the purpose of the briefcase? The purpose of the briefcase is to unsettle things, to flip storylines, to give you new opportunities. So whether you hold it for 7 months, which I think frankly is too long, the truth is it's better off done sooner, in my opinion. That was the point. They used the briefcase to take Alexa, who now is maybe the biggest star on Raw, not named Ronda Rousey, certainly in the women's division. And it allowed to just instantly throw her back in the mix with Ronda Rousey chasing her, with fuel between her and Nia. It successfully changed the landscape in a way that only makes the show better. That's the, to me, and I'm not a writer, but that's the goal, right? That's why you have this vehicle, an opportunity to make the show better with a simple match, and that's what happened. This match now allowed them to do everything.
It's definitely that break, in case of an emergency, break glass. And they went right for it, which, like, I love. It adds to the unpredictability, right? Because somebody could cash in the same night, or they could hold it for, like you said, 7-10 months, and it'll have the same effect every time.
All right, what else did you enjoy on the card, though, SGG?
Believe it or not, I enjoyed the Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal match, even though Chicago did not. And I feel like they didn't give it a chance. It wasn't going to be a five-star match with, like, a Matt Classic, but I think their styles blended well, and they told – I won't say they told a really good story. I feel like that's an overused phrase that people say when they don't know what to say about a match, but I really did enjoy the match, though. I think their styles worked well together, and I don't understand the point. Like, if you don't like Roman, that's cool, but deciding that you don't like a match at the opening bell is wild to me, especially when you paid your money to, whether you watch it at home or you are in the crowd. Like, just say you don't want him employed at this point, because you can't decide that he had a bad match before they even
I think that's what a lot of people are saying, Greg. I mean, it's not me, or you, certainly. We know that. But, I think that's what a lot of people are saying. I'm going to tell you the truth right now, and I don't care how it sounds. There's some decisions that have to be made on Roman Reigns. There's just no way around it. This is not, I don't think even you, Greg, I don't think even Spin Master Greg can spin the way Roman's reacted to as being a good thing at this point. You know, he said last week when asked about turning, oh, why turn? Everybody boos me. You know, I respect Roman, but in this, it's not that kind of booing, bro. That's not what it is right now.
I think the booing is overstated, right? Because, like, there are people like me, grown men, who like Roman Reigns. Grown women, their children, like, universally loved Roman Reigns. So that's out. So I think the booing is overstated. It just sucks that it seems to overshadow so much of his work. But let me float an idea by you, because I spoke to Barry Blaustein the other day, and he said that he thinks that they should keep Roman off of TV for at least up until Mania. Like, have him do a match where he says, you know, if I lose, I'll stay off TV, and then he loses that match. And, like, still let him do house shows, keep his merch up, you know, advertise him for the house shows and everything like that, but just keep him off of TV and then find a meaningful way to reintroduce him to the crowd after an extended TV absence. Do you think that would work as a fix?
Possibly. Excuse me. I've started to think a long-term absence is the only thing that could work. Me and Sam were talking the other day about things that make sense, and apparently Sam, I think, is right. I didn't see all of Raw so far. I've seen like 80%. Are they leaning towards, it looks like, something with him and Lashley?
It looks that way, which it shouldn't be the move. Him and Lashley, you know, they both were jockeying for position about who should actually face Brock Lesnar. Lashley, once again, did not do well on the mic, which made Roman's work on the mic look really good by comparison. But, I don't think I would be into that. I think the matches will be good to great. Like, Roman always delivers in the ring, but I just don't know what to do with Lashley.
I just don't think it's a good idea. I think the problem is Lashley gets a similar treatment to Roman. I think if you want Roman to actually get booed in a way that's meaningful, you turn him and unite him with a returning Jason Jordan.
You think Jason Jordan is the move?
What?
You think Jason Jordan is the move for Roman Reigns? Because, I mean, I think
Jason Jordan has real heat. I think Jason Jordan has real heat. The crowd really boos Jason Jordan in the way you're supposed to. They hate Jason Jordan. They don't want him off the TV. they hate him. And so the idea of Jason Jordan aligning himself with Roman and then Roman becoming this sort of wimpy, annoying, complaining, whatever version of him he becomes, I think could get you real, real heat and become a hated tag team. And I think eventually becoming a really hated tag team like that could lead to him being appreciated and loved again. I think putting him next to people that the crowd also doesn't seem to care about is not it. That's not it. You need him involved in things people do care about. Or you need to take him off TV.
Yeah, well, that's the frustrating part for me, right? Because I appreciate his work. I was in the Roman hate train for a little while. I was part of the... I might have been a conductor. But if you look back at his matches, and you can go back as far as you want, like, go right up until the breakup of the Shield, go past that, look at just his singles work, whatever you want to do, like... The matches deliver. And for me, it felt like all the reasons that I had to hate him just sounded like excuses when, and it made me feel like I sounded hypocritical when I sit here and say like, yo, I'm a match guy. I'll forgive all this other stuff if the matches are good and then this guy is having good matches. And I still am just like, nah, he sucks. For me, I couldn't justify it. So that's why. You see me leaning the other way now, because now I got to balance out the hate that I put out there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we trust the writers with everything else they're doing with these other characters. I don't understand the hate, and I certainly just don't understand it. Like at the opening bell, if at the end of the match you're just like, okay, that match was trash, then you can do that because you gave it a chance. But to decide that this match is going to be trash. Like, that's the mistake you made at WrestleMania, right? You decided that Roman was going to win, and then you poo-pooed all over the match. And then when he lost, you popped when you could have just enjoyed him taking the beating that he was taking and popped when he lost.
Yeah, I don't understand it either, Greg. I don't know how it's gotten this far. And I never supported that. I always thought Roman's a really great talent. We know some of the reasons why it happened, that some of the overexposure and things of that, but overall, I don't get it. All right, we're left at a crossroads here, Greg, because we're 47 minutes into the podcast. We haven't even finished...
Money in the Bank.
We haven't finished Money in the Bank fully. We haven't started a mailbag. Oh, man. Are you around tomorrow morning, too?
I am, because we got to give them this heat. Like,
yeah, I think maybe we try to come back tomorrow with another bonus for the weekend, hit them with this one, and then come back and hit them with another one.
Yeah,
another one.
What are you looking like tonight?
Do you think tonight? We could maybe do tonight.
Yeah, let's see, because it's another Street Fair, All-American Barbecue. But when I get home, I'll hit you up. When I get home, and then
what did you say? Did you talk about barbecue?
yeah, the All American Barbecue in Philly, Dilworth Park. I'm hitting that up tonight at like 6:00. But then when I get back from that, I'll let you know so that
of course, there'd be some barbecue.
Of course. And I've been trying
to
find.
You know what they have at barbecue?
Delicious chicken.
That's right. All right. So that'll do it for part one of our Money in the Bank recap. And do me a favor, everyone. Stay mage.
Oh, yeah.